The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio, Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to Dorf on Sports right here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. So much happening in the sports world. With great pleasure, college football has definitely arrived. With a little disappointment for people that are into the Arizona State Sun Devils. They were atrocious. They were awful. They were really, really, really bad. Texas A&M, though, however, on the other hand, may be a little bit better than people think. And I'll tell you the one thing that really stuck out to me. It was the fact that we let a kid in our own backyard get the heck out of here. A kid that went to Saguaro High School, a place where I coach tennis at. Christian Kirk, man, oh man. That dude can ball. That guy deserves to be playing on Sundays at some point in his life. Man, oh man. Jeff, anyways, welcome to the program. I know I hear the music. We got to get the heck out of here. But good morning, man. How are you?
Hey, good morning. It's tough to watch the Sun Devils lose that game in more ways than one. I mean, recruiting really stuck out in the game at NRG Stadium in Houston on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll get into it on the other side. Jeff Rich, Dorfman, it is Dorf on Sports. Keep it close, everybody. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back. Keep it close.
An important floor you may not always think about is the one for your car. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about sealing your garage floor so it always looks good right after this. What's the first step of any building or repair project? I always make sure I have the tools and materials I need, starting with the QuickCrete mobile app. With easy one-touch access, you can watch project video instructions, quickly pull up a material shopping list, and make sure you have what you need, or use the app to figure out how much you need and find out where to buy it. You can even share your finished project via the Quick Share function. It's the tool you can use from start to finish. Download the QuickCrete mobile app on the App Store or Google Play today. One of the best ways to seal a concrete garage floor is with the two-part epoxy systems you'll find at your local home center. Start by cleaning up any of the oil spots and then use an acidic cleaner to scrub the whole floor before rinsing it with clean water. After it dries for a day or two, you're ready for the sealer. Unlike paint or stain, epoxy sealers are mixed immediately before use and you only have a limited amount of time to work with them. Once you mix it, you have to be ready to start rolling and brushing it on because the clock is ticking. Work small areas and keep a wet edge like you would with any other paint. If you're adding the decorative paint chips that come with some of these kits, you'll need to do that while the surface is still wet. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Football season starts Sunday, and you could kick things off by winning $2 million at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. It's the biggest fantasy football contest ever. $10 million in prizes are up for grabs, including $2 million for first place and $1 million for second. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. It's fantasy football on demand. Play where you want, when you want, with the players you want. Just pick your players, pile up the points, and pick up your cash. That's it. You've never experienced football like this. this. It may only be week one, but it already feels like the playoffs at DraftKings.com. And every broken tackle or spectacular catch could take you closer to a $2 million payday. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code ATTACK to play free for a shot at $2 million in Sunday's $10 million Millionaire Maker. Enter ATTACK for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
If you want to stop moisture from coming into your home, think Ames. Apply Ames coatings to waterproof and protect roofs, basement walls, and decks. Ames adhesive high-strength elastomeric liquid rubber coatings are impenetrable. Extreme moisture protection. Look for the Ames Blue Max, Maximum Stretch, and Safety Deck brands at your local hardware store or see amesresearch.com. That's A-M-E-S research.com. Available at Ace, Do It Best, and True Value stores.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Man, oh man, like I said, lots and lots of things going on in the sports world. We had some football games going on with the college ranks. And I'll tell you what. If you're not a little disappointed as a Sun Devil fan, then maybe you're a little disappointed if you're a Wisconsin fan, because they didn't look so good either. I am obviously from the great state of Wisconsin, but that was a poor showing as well. Some interesting takes from the weekend of college football. Yes or no, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the whole four-day schedule. I watched more football probably between Thursday and Friday than I have in a long time. It was a lot of good primetime games on Thursday, a lot of high-profile games. I don't know that they were necessarily good football games. I don't know that there were a lot of surprises. I think we had our wow moment of the season on day one, on the first Saturday going on in Lincoln, Nebraska. We saw Nebraska do it to Northwestern a year ago, and then we saw BYU do it right back to them on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, the Hail Mary at the end of the game there obviously prevailed BYU. They get the victory 33-28 after that play. And yeah, I mean, look, man, that's excitement. That's what college football is all about. You know, you have chances and hopes and dreams to do things, and sometimes they're shattered, to be honest with you. And I personally think the Devils were shattered yesterday. And I made a point in the beginning when I was talking about Christian Kirk, a kid who went to Saguaro High School, which is literally a drive and a chip shot away from my house. I do coach boys tennis over there. And I'll tell you what, that kid's fantastic. I don't know how in the heck you let a kid like that get out of your own place. How does it happen, Jeff?
It happens because Texas has that allure. It happens because Arizona State, though they've won 10 games the last 3 years, they don't have that wow factor when you're selling college football. They don't have the portfolio. When you think about the Pac-12, who do you think about? You think about USC. You think about Oregon. Stanford's put themselves on the map.
Yeah, well, hey, just speaking of that, that was atrocious by them, too. Northwestern beats them 16-6. The Pac-12 looked pretty awful yesterday, or on Saturday, I should say.
I think that other than the SEC, who just basically held serve,
yeah,
I don't think any conference really did themselves any favors with this opening week. Whether you're playing an FCS team, and in some cases losing, like in the case of Washington State, you're not doing yourself any favors in week one unless you can beat a high-profile opponent. Kudos to Arizona State for trying to do that. I believe this was their first the first time they opened with a Power 5 opponent since 2002, and they just didn't look I don't know if they didn't look ready or if there's just too much hype around this team and they just can't match, you know, their level of play just can't match the expectations.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Brooke Avicii is not Kelly, first and foremost, and you know that was obviously a problem. But like I said, you know, when you let a kid like Christian Kirk get out of there, you're going to be struggling. The kid's a true freshman. He lit it up out there. Let's be honest, the 6 receptions, 106 yards, the 1 TD. But the plays, man, the playmaking ability that this kid has is just something. It's second to none. I think there's definitely a spot for him on Sundays, and I'm calling it early. I mean, the kid played his first college football game as a you know, freshman in and a true freshman at that at Texas A&M, and I'm just very impressed with the way he's gone about his business. I've seen that kid. I know that kid. I don't know him as well as I know DJ Foster, but I have seen Christian Kirk around this place, and very impressed with him all around as a very good young athlete coming up in college football.
Oh, absolutely. I think that it's way too early to discuss this, but if you had to discuss it, there's a really heavy trophy they give away in December, and I think that you have to put Christian Kirk on that list right now.
Well, I mean, we'll see. It's pretty early, like you said. But I expect big things from this kid, not only in college, but moving on to the NFL. And I just hope we get a few years to watch him play some college football, to be honest with you, because he's going to be special. He's going to be something else. What'd you think of Jim Harbaugh's debut with the running with the Utes being able to obviously impose their will? The score winds up like 24-17, if I'm not mistaken, but I don't necessarily think it was even that close, Jeff.
It definitely wasn't that close. You look at Michigan's offense and you wonder what the Harbaugh factor is there. You know, that they had a lot of quarterback controversy, playing kids with concussions, doing all the things that get coaches fired. And Brady Hoke did get his pink slip at the end of the year. And Michigan fans get what they want. They get one of their own back home. But on opening night in Salt Lake City, they couldn't run the football. They get a guy in Rudock from Iowa who didn't play very well in his starting role at Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes to Michigan, and he doesn't look fantastic there. Couldn't see the field on third down. Couldn't stay on the field on third down, in fact. You know, if you're a Michigan Wolverines fan, I think that you embraced yourself for a very long season. Quite frankly, other than Ohio State, I don't know what's there in the Big Ten. I think Minnesota, you know, I think the other game that the Big Ten played on Thursday, Minnesota hosting TCU, I think your Gophers put on a pretty good show against the best two team in the country.
No, I agree. I thought that the Gophers, look, in general, the Gophers have been getting better. They've been improving the last few years, and I think that their program's moving in the right direction. So I got no problems with how the Gophers went out there and played. Yeah, they lost, but they battled. They played hard, man. And you know what? They lost to a better football team. Something that surprised me a little bit was seeing Oregon give up 42 points to Eastern Washington. Got to be a little bit surprised about that. Yes or no, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely. Now, when it comes to the FCS ranks, Eastern Washington is no joke. We saw what they were able to do a year ago, knocking off a Pac-12 opponent. And that starting quarterback, Vernon Adams, is now starting for Oregon. So you can't just say that, you know, Eastern Washington has that one dynamic threat at quarterback because he was starting for the Ducks. Now, the Ducks still put up 61 points, and, you know, they're fine. You know, don't read too much into it. But Oregon is – you know, we were talking about this last night around the table, that can you name a really dominant player on the defensive side of the ball from Oregon historically at all?
No. It's a great point. Not really. No, and just think about how they can roll that offense out there.
And they get it done. You know, and one of the things is their offense kind of hurts their defense because they do score points
so
in bunches.
Quickly, yeah.
And they score so quickly mm-hmm. that it's almost as bad as having an offense that goes three and out. Obviously, you have the buffer with the points, but it can be detrimental to your offense. I think we see it in the NFL with your Green Bay Packers too.
Yeah. Does Alabama have a problem at quarterback, yes or no? Do they have a decision to make? What do you think? Who won that job yesterday?
I thought Coker played pretty well. You know, he's not traditionally a mobile guy by any stretch of the imagination, but Wisconsin should be pretty big in the trenches, and they just got blown off the ball. I think that his offensive line is going to compensate for his lack of mobility, but the other kid didn't play poorly at all. No, nothing to hang your head about if you're an Alabama fan in any way.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, USC from the Pac-12 looked all right. UCLA from the Pac-12 looked all right as well. But as an overall, they kind of struggled. Oklahoma, what do you think? Do you think they may be better than people think? I know they're ranked in the top 20, but Do they maybe have something to play for, and are they maybe better than the people think?
I think that they could be. They could definitely be better than Baylor and TCU. Now, TCU, I think, played a tough opponent in Minnesota, and I think that Baylor let SMU hang around for about a half. They stonewalled them at the end of the half. They go into the locker room up 28-21. But I don't think either of those teams are necessarily what they were a year ago. Of course, I didn't want to shell out the $99.99 for the pay-per-view of Oklahoma-Akron because I don't live in the state of Oklahoma. So I didn't get to see Oklahoma firsthand. But I think that they're a pretty good football team on paper. We'll see when they start playing real teams, though.
Hey, what do we have coming up on the other side, Jeff? We have a guest.
Yeah, we've got Seth Marenbloom coming up from campuspressbox.com to break down everything that we've seen since Thursday night.
Sounds great. So keep it close. On the other side, like you said, Seth will join us. So a lot to talk about, man. A lot to talk about. So much going on in the sports world. But we're going to wrap it up for this segment. And then, like you said, we'll get in touch with Seth, and we'll see what's going on in the sports world in his mind. So keep it close. It is Dorf on Sports. And this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back, everybody.
We all know healthcare has changed drastically. It's quite the puzzle to sort through your options and find a health insurance plan that's affordable and maximizes your benefits. And you're now required by law to have health insurance or you may pay a tax penalty. So let the Health Markets Insurance Agency help you. They offer plans from over 120 different companies and can even help you obtain government subsidies. Let them do all the research for you and show you how affordable health insurance can be, a service that's at no extra cost to you. Call now and learn your options to find affordable health insurance. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is a DBA or assumed name of Insphere Insurance Solutions, Inc., which is a licensed insurance agency in all 50 states and D.C. Not all agents are licensed to sell all products. Service availability varies by state.
Health insurance is on everybody's mind right now. You either don't have it, or you have it and you think it's too expensive. And you probably feel like you don't have any options. We can help. We are the Health Markets Insurance Agency. We offer health insurance plans from major carriers nationwide and likely have a plan that can save you money. Whether you're self-employed, on a COBRA plan that's about to expire, or you simply don't have health insurance where you work and you need it, the Health Markets Insurance Agency can help you. Our agents will help you find coverage you can afford. Health Markets Insurance Agency is an authorized agency in all 50 states, including the District of Columbia. Plans may not be available in all states. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242.
Attention catheter users. Stop reusing dirty catheters. Catheters are now disposable. Recent changes in Medicare now allow patients up to 200 disposable catheters a month, all at little or no cost to you. We bill Medicare. Put an end to the mess and risk of infection by using old catheters. Just use a catheter once and throw it away. Eliminate trips to the pharmacy and insurance paperwork. Shipping is free. Receive a free catheter sample by calling and joining Medical Direct Club right now.
Call 1-800-399-9018 to receive your free catheter sample discreetly delivered right to your door. That's 1-800-399-9018. 1-800-399-9018. Call 1-800-399-9018 today.
Deductibles and copays apply. Free catheter samples require qualified membership. Sample will arrive with 90-day order.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. As always, Jeff Rich with me. Have not thrown this out there yet today, by the way. You want to get in touch with us a few different ways. 1-800-878-7529. Those are our digits. Hit us up on Twitter at @ByJeffRich or at Dorf on Sports. And be sure to check us out here at Sports Byline USA. Looks like we got a little guest coming on now. So we're going to welcome in Seth Marenbloom, managing editor from the Campus Press Box. Good morning, Seth. How are you, man?
Good morning. I am great. How are you today?
No complaints. You know, we had some interesting stuff here happen on Saturday with college football, some surprises, some shocks to a certain degree. Maybe in your humble opinion, what was the biggest shock in your mind?
I think I probably have a couple of them. It would be a tie in my mind. I wasn't expecting Stanford to go to Northwestern and lose that game. I probably underestimated Northwestern, even though they're exceptionally well coached with Pat Fitzgerald. I suppose I have a bit of a bias against the Big Ten, rather. So that was a shock to me, Stanford losing to Northwestern. The other shock to me was Texas A&M just manhandling Arizona State. I wasn't expecting that, and I was one of those people that fell into that category that Arizona State was going to pretty much roll in that game.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I think a lot of people thought that Arizona State had an outside shot at being in the national title game, and they're far from that, to be honest with you. The thing that glared to me with the game, and it hurts, it really stings, Jeff and I have talked about this a little bit already on the program. There's a certain kid on that field that really, really showed up. His name's Christian Kirk. He played at a high school right here, literally in my backyard. I coach at the same high school, but I don't coach football. I coach tennis. But Christian Kirk was a heck of an athlete at Saguaro High School. He was somehow let out of our grasp here at Arizona State. Those guys at U of A missed out on him too. And he got swayed, and for some reason, to get out there to Texas and Texas A&M, more importantly and more in particular with what happened to them on Saturday, he was a star on that field, a true freshman that somehow got out of the hands of Arizona State or the University of Arizona. How in the world does that happen, Seth?
Well, first of all, just watching some of the highlights of him, he appears to have video game speed. That's how I would describe what he's able to do on the field. As far as how he got out of the state of Arizona and went anywhere else, I think they're just some kids who they want to get away. They want to leave home. They want a new environment. And if your coaching staff is able to find an out-of-state kid that has comparable talent, I think it's a wash. But in this case, it looks like there aren't many kids in the country who are able to do on the football field what Christian Kirk is able to do on the football field, especially as a true freshman.
Yeah, unbelievable player.
Hey, Seth, this was the only matchup that we're going to have on the non-conference slate between a Pac-12 team and an SEC team. If you're a team like Oregon or USC, how much does Arizona State's performance on Saturday affect you in the long run, especially if we're looking at a situation where it's TCU, Ohio State for that fourth spot in the playoff? If you're on that committee, do you let this game affect your decision making when looking at an SEC champion versus a Pac-12 champion?
I think it depends on who that SEC champion is, for starters. If that SEC champion's Texas A&M, and that gives some credence to this game against Arizona State, not being an outlier, and Texas A&M, truly being one of those upper echelon teams in the country, then you know, I don't think it matters that much. You know, that also works under the assumption that, you know, Arizona State just plows through the Pac-12 and takes care of their own business in conference. Because I think, you know, if last year taught us anything at all, it's that what happens now at this point in the season doesn't necessarily sink a team come college football playoff time. As I always go back to Ohio State losing to Virginia Tech, or, you know, in September last year. When we saw that last year, we thought, all right, there's no way that Ohio State is doing anything this year. And, you know, because of things that they did on the field and what happened in other conferences, you know, here they are 1 year later as defending national champions.
You did mention those national champions. They have this rematch with Virginia Tech. They're not going to have Joey Bosa. They're not going to have Jalen Marshall and a few other playmakers. But Ohio State has a lot of depth. Going into Labor Day night, is there any expectation that Virginia Tech can do it all over again?
I don't think there's an expectation of it. And for me, in my mind, I think this has statement game written all over it for Ohio State. Even without Joey Bosa and some of those other guys that are suspended for this game, you know, like you suggested, they have incredible depth. You know, they have what essentially amounts to a three-headed monster at quarterback, even though one of them's playing receiver. But they have athletes all over the field, and I can't see giving Virginia Tech much of a shot in this game, but none of us would have last year either.
Yeah, Seth Marenberg, managing editor for the Campus Press Box, joining us here on the program. Sorry about that. Hey, I was thinking about this, and I'm wondering, how in the world does Urban Meyer figure out a way to have all three of those guys on the field? What does he do?
For starters, I think he should win Salesman of the Year award for getting all three of those guys to stick around.
I agree with that.
You know, I don't know if there's, you know, any kind of bonus compensation or accelerated sales compensation that's part of his contract, but you know, if there isn't, there should be, because he met all of his sales quotas for this year, keeping all three of those guys around. You know, if he gets all three of those kids on the field at the same time and in certain packages and situations, that puts an immense amount of pressure on the defense before that ball is even snapped. Because, yeah. Well, one, they're incredible athletes. They can all throw the ball. They can all run. I think they're all incredible runners in the open field. But then, you know, to go one step further, nobody in the country has seen a package with all three of those quarterbacks on the field at the same time. So nobody has any clue what Meyer is going to do out of those sets, if those sets do in fact materialize.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be pretty interesting to see how defenses would be able to stop that. You have three guys that potentially could have the ball in their hands. You know, maybe you set them up like two running backs and a quarterback, and who gets the ball? I mean, really, honestly, I don't know how many different ways he could really confuse people, to be honest with you, if he puts all three of those guys back there. I mean, it could really cause a lot of havoc. I mean, it's a gimmick to a certain degree, but maybe not. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and I think the defense that would be able to defend the threat of that the best is a defense that, you know, not to sound completely stereotypical, but it's that defense that plays their assignments perfectly and they don't allow themselves to get sucked in. So the backside's being defended, the front side, the middle, just, you know, 360 degrees all the way around. You know, they're playing their assignments, you know, but, you know, once a defense sees that alignment, it takes some maturity, I think, not to, you know, let your emotions get the best of you and just, you know, chuck that assignment mentality right out the window.
Absolutely. Seth, first time we've had you on the program. Just out of curiosity, would you be able to visit with us next hour as well?
Sure. I would love to stick around.
Okay, so can we have you come back next hour at the same time? Can we get to you at 9:25 Phoenix, Arizona time?
All right, so that would be 11:25 my time, I believe.
Yeah. Right, so so you must be somewhere in the Midwest, is my guess, huh?
Yeah, I am.
Very good. Where do you live, just out of curiosity?
I am in Lawrence, Kansas.
Actually. Lawrence, Kansas. Rock Chalk Jayhawks, baby.
And I am a Missouri Tiger graduate.
Well, you're living in the wrong place, man. That's,
you know, love takes you to some odd places sometimes.
That's Jayhawk country, man. And you know what? I got a lot of love for the Kansas Jayhawks, to be honest with you. That's where my brother went to school. So I saw some great basketball games with Oklahoma and Kansas back in the day at Allen Fieldhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing place, man. Hey, really appreciate you taking time out with us, Seth. We're going to catch up with you in an hour, so we look forward to having you back, man.
All right, wonderful. I appreciate it.
Seth Marenbloom, the editor from Campus Press Box, joining us. We'll have him again in an hour, so very good stuff. Good college football talk. Keep it close, everybody. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back.
That floral wallpaper your grandmother picked out 50 years ago just isn't working for you anymore. I'm Danny Lipper with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned. We'll talk about an option for ugly wallpaper right after this.
Mold on your siding, moss on your roof, mildew on your deck. The easiest way to get rid of it all is with Wet and Forget Outdoor. There's no scrubbing, no rinsing, and no pressure washing. Just spray and leave. Wet and Forget Outdoor is bleach-free and safe for virtually any outdoor surface. Siding, roofing, concrete, stone, stucco, even fabric. Just spray and you're done with Wet and Forget Outdoor. Get Wet and Forget Outdoor at the Home Depot or visit wetandforget.com for a store near you.
I always recommend removing wallpaper whenever possible, but sometimes it just isn't feasible, whether it's constraints in time, budget, or both. Wallpaper can be painted over successfully, but there are a few things you need to do to make sure your paint job doesn't come crashing down around you. First, glue any loose pieces and seams. You don't want any of that excess moisture creeping behind the paper. Next, use a small putty knife to apply drywall joint compound over all of the seams. After it dries, use a damp sponge to remove any excess compound from the wall. Finally, remember that it's the moisture in latex paint that can loosen wallpaper glue, so use an oil-based primer followed by two coats of latex. Follow these few simple steps and you'll enjoy a freshly painted room for years to come. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Pedro Fernandez here. You might know me as the host of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, but this time I'm here to talk about that four-letter word everybody dreads, pain. If you have back pain or knee pain like I do, hey, you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. I'm talking about if Medicare is your primary medical insurance, guess what? You can qualify for a back or knee brace or a shoulder brace for little or no charge. Anything to help me with the pain, hey, makes it more manageable, gets my attention, folks. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for your back, ankle, knee, or shoulder, guess what? Give the Health Alert Hotline a call, toll-free, 1-800-428-1570, 1-800-428-1570. You can qualify for a back or knee brace or a shoulder brace for little or no charge, 1-800-428-1570, the Health Alert Hotline, 1-800-428-1570.
Howdy, folks, Colonel Sanders here. Time to shake off that boring old weekend and get back to the excitement of labor. You're going to need a good lunch, though. So stop into a KFC for a $5 fill-up with two pieces of original recipe chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, a biscuit, a cookie, and a medium drink. Okay, then. I'll let you get back to work now. KFC. It's finger-licking good.
Drum thigh side cookie medium drink. Pricing and participation may vary. Tax extra.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. In case you missed him, Seth Marenbloom. Good stuff from the Campus Press Box, managing editor. We'll have him each hour, so we'll talk some college football with him. But We're going to move on, and we're going to talk some Major League Baseball with none other than John Poulter, our professor of sports. John, good morning, man. How are you?
Morning, Andy. Morning, Jeff. Doing well, thanks. How about the two of you?
No complaints, man. It's starting to cool down here, if you can believe it. We've had a couple days under 100 degrees. I mean, I never thought it would happen, at least not until November, but happening here in September, and I'm kind of liking it, John, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you're sending it up here. We've had high 80s, low 90s with a ton of humidity for most of the last 4 or 5 days, and I guess we got a couple more days of it coming. So whatever you've been sending, you've obviously been sending northeast.
Well, we're not our baseball play, which you're probably happy about that, because the Toronto Blue Jays place in the American League East, a game and a half lead. They may have had a game lead the last time we spoke, or they may have been down a game, but they're playing well, man. 7-3 in their last 10 games. Again, you know, we talked about those trade deadline deals. They really paid off for Toronto. Looks like they got themselves in the playoffs. Again, unless they completely fall apart, they're in the playoffs, whether they're the, you know, the American League East champs or they're a wild card. But right now, they're atop that division and looking pretty strong.
Yeah, they lost. They were a game and a half ahead going into the weekend series, and they lost to Baltimore rather badly on Friday night. They didn't play well at all, and Baltimore played very well. And the Yankees beat Tampa Bay, so the lead was a half a game going into yesterday. But David Price pitched yesterday and did exactly what David Price was obtained to do, and that was to shut down Baltimore pretty quickly. 8 pitches in the first inning, 7 in the second, and that really set the tone for the game. So they were able to deal the Orioles a 5-1 loss, and Tampa Bay beat the Yankees, so we're back to a game and a half. And once again, the race is on, and it's going to come down to those 7 games between the two teams in September, as we've chatted about previously.
Absolutely. Jeff, get in on the mix here.
Hey, John, you were a little sour on the price tag on the David Price trade, and it's not necessarily that you need to recant that or anything, but have you noticed the team playing better around him, playing better when he doesn't pitch, to really boost the value of that trade as we approach the playoffs in 2015?
Yeah, they've played better all around, Jeff, since acquiring him, certainly when he's been on the mound and even in the days when he hasn't, because he's got a reputation of being such a great team player. And I sort of attribute some of that to the Price presence, but they also got some other good quality additions right around that trade deadline. A couple of guys for the bullpen. Tulowitzki was a huge upgrade at shortstop. And the guy that I thought at the time was going to be the hidden gem was Ben Revere, because he's given them some great defense in the outfield, which they didn't have before. I mean, there were lots of games that they were playing Chris Colavello in the outfield, and he's really got no business playing left field anymore in the major leagues anymore than I do. So great hitter, but not a great outfielder. So Revere has kind of been the last piece to that puzzle, and he might have been the most unsung of all the additions that the Blue Jays picked up at the end of July.
You know, sometimes a change of scenery is just good for guys, to be honest with you. You know, getting out of some place where, you know, you didn't necessarily maximize your potential, or you ran into a few snags here and there, and then you just get a new opportunity somewhere else. So how much of that do you think is playing a factor for guys that, you know, they go into a situation where they're going to a team that has a good shot to get to the postseason? That sometimes is enough to make guys want to play hard, and, you know, you can get guys to come together in that way, John.
Yeah, very much so. And I think to your point, Andy, it's a bit of a two-pronged situation. The first one is the ultimate change of scenery. It's, you know, a vacation, and a rest is as good as a vacation for a lot of guys, and certainly for a guy that's been in one place for so long, I think it's refreshing to go someplace else. And then the opportunity to go someplace where the team has a chance to win. And, you know, I've never been to Denver, but I understand it's a nice city. But a guy like Tulowitzki must feel that he's really been refreshed by going from a team that's been bottom of the division pretty much since the first week of the season. And now the first week of September, he's involved in probably the hottest pennant race of the six divisions. Regardless of the player, his attitude, his ability, and the cities, that alone has got to be a great incentive for a guy changing places.
I would think so. I mean, you know, you just It's like it's getting like a fresh start, you know. It's almost like you just get rejuvenated, if you will. You know, it's like being a kid again. You know what I mean? Just there's so many different ways to throw it out there, but definitely you're seeing a great product there on the field right now with them in first place, up top of the division and ahead of the New York Yankees. So you got to be pretty happy.
Yes, I am. And, you know, there's been two or three times over the summer that I've felt that the Blue Jays had overspent in terms of players, not necessarily in terms of dollars, but in terms of the type of players that they've brought in. And it was a division that was there for the taking, and I didn't think that they had made the right changes to get there. Now I'm beginning to believe that they did. To go back to Jeff's original comment, yes, I was very negative on the price that they paid for David Price. And while short-term it has certainly helped the Blue Jays, I think the real tell on that deal will be if Price re-signs, A, which we don't know for sure yet, and B, what happens to the prospects that they gave up in that deal. I can remember back in 93, the Jays needed a leadoff hitter and an outfielder. They traded for Ricky Henderson on a rental basis. They gave up a guy by the name of Steve Carsey, who at that time was the jewel of the Blue Jays minor league pitching system. And we all felt at that time that that was a bad deal. But, you know, how many of our listeners even know today who Steve Carsey was? And the Jays won a World Series. So it was worth it, even though Henderson didn't re-sign.
No, I know Steve Carsey really well. And, you know, one thing, it's one thing to give him up for prospects to win a title. It's another to give him up for John Rocker, as the Cleveland Indians did. But, you know, David Price was on the other, you know, the other end of that fire sale in Detroit. They're a last place team. Looks like they're already ready to give up on Brad Ausmus, because it certainly looks like his team quit there in Detroit.
Yeah, I think they have too, and whether that's a reflection on him or whether he's just part of the problem or whether he's a victim of circumstance, hard to tell. But with the change at the GM level, with Dombrowski leaving and Avila coming in, I have to wonder if Mr. Ausmus might find himself reassigned at the end of the season. I feel badly for him in one respect because, you know, the players were taken away from him, and his best hitter, maybe even baseball's best hitter in Cabrera, was out of the lineup for a key part of this season, and then they gave up part of the rotation, and Verlander hasn't pitched well, and he's been hurt. So it's not all Ausmus's fault, but we all know that at the end of the day, as we talked last week, it's often the manager that pays the freight.
Keeping it in the Central, John, you know, every time we count Minnesota out, they seem to kind of have a little bit of a push and put themselves back in the spot for the wild card. Got a 3 or 4 team race. Who are the two teams that are going to wind up being the wild cards, in your opinion?
Well, I think the first spot is probably almost undoubtedly going to go to the runner-up in the Blue Jay race. So I think we would, you know, either one of those teams now would have a 4 or 4.5 game lead. That second spot is getting rather interesting. Texas is sitting there now, but they're only 1.5 games up on Minnesota, 3.5 up on the Angels, and Tampa Bay is getting back in that race at 4.5. And I wouldn't have thought that possible a month ago. They did not have a very good August, but they're starting to play well right now. That whole Eastern Division is going to get really interesting because I think every team in the division has a home and home against the other four teams in the division. So they're going to decide it amongst themselves, which quite frankly is the way that it should be. And I think the schedule maker should be applauded for drawing up the schedule the way that he or she has.
Just out of curiosity, is there a way that you could see Houston playing themselves out of the playoffs potentially, yes or no?
I can't see them playing themselves out of the playoffs, but I can see them playing themselves out of that West Division lead, whether it's emotions or whether it's just the fact that Texas and the Angels are pushing them. It's hard to tell, but I'm surprised because I've thought, as we've talked before, that the Astros have been the big surprise of the whole season. They've played very well. To some extent, they took advantage of the fact that the rest of the division wasn't playing that well. Perhaps Texas and the Angels are catching up to them a little bit, but right now, I think if they've got any real challenger to take that title in the AL West, I think it's Texas more so than the Angels, and I saw this morning that Albert Pujols is hurting, and he's going to be restricted to DHing for the rest of the season for the Angels. And while he's no star, he's not Keith Hernandez at first base, but he's better defensively than anything else the Angels can put out there.
Absolutely. That's the voice of John Poulter, a professor of sports, joining us as he does each and every week, talking Major League Baseball, American League right now. We're dissecting it, looking at obviously who's in the lead right now, but also some scenarios that could happen. Do they blow it up there with the Angels this year if this doesn't shake for them? I mean, sooner or later, they got to call quits, yes or no?
Yeah, you got to think so. I think the tough part there is that the owner seems to have his hands on things there more than an owner should, number one. Number two, there was clearly a power struggle, at least from where I sit, between general manager Jerry DePoto and field manager Mike Socha, which Socha clearly won when DePoto exited. Whether it was walking or whether it was pushed, we don't know. But I have to wonder, with somebody as impatient as Marino is, he's almost today's George Steinbrenner in terms of patience with his team. I have to wonder if he might take a look at blowing that thing up. But then you look at some of the contracts that are there and the performance against those contracts. Some of those guys are going to be hard to deal. So it's quite easy to say, yes, let's rebuild it. But you got to find a place for the guys you want to push out the door before you bring the new ones in. And I think that might be the biggest challenge they have in Orange County.
Hey, just a quick follow-up here on that, you know, and it's kind of Scott-aided here, by the way. Are they kicking themselves now, do you think, for that Albert Pujols deal?
Oh, I think we thought that they would kick themselves for it down the road the day that it was made. I was surprised that Pujols left St. Louis because he was very much a folk hero there, a great guy in the community, an outstanding citizen. Why he left St. Louis, I can only surmise it was because of the dollars. But when you look at what he has done since he went to L.A. and the constant success that the Cardinals have had since he left, you have to sit back now and think that the Cardinals made the right call on that deal. And kudos to them for not wanting to re-sign him. But, yeah, I think the Angels would like that one back the same way that they would like the Hamilton deal back, which is going to cost them for quite some time yet, because they're paying a good chunk of Josh Hamilton's salary, even though he's in Arlington with the Rangers.
You know, you said something that just struck a nerve. Sorry, Jeff. I know I wanted to have you ask one more question, but St. Louis is just so brilliant when you think about it. They knew it was time to part ways with Albert Pujols, and they have never looked back. Go ahead, Jeff.
Looking at the Twin schedule, they're out of Texas after this weekend. Yeah, they got three at Kansas City, and then it really lines up favorably. Six with the Tigers, six with the Indians. Can the Twins steal this wild card simply because of their schedule?
Certainly by playing against the Tigers they can. But I've been impressed with what I've seen from your Indians lately, Jeff. They played really well in a series in New York against the Yankees before they came to Toronto. And they lost two out of three here, but they were in all three games, and that young pitching staff is looking good. So I don't think we should be looking at Cleveland's record in terms of where the Twins might be able to pick up some cheap wins.
Good stuff, John, as always. Really appreciate you taking time out. We may want to catch up with you next hour. Will you have time, if so?
That's fine. No problem. I will be here.
Sounds great. Look for a call. We'll definitely be hooking up with you. We'll talk some National League in the second hour with you. So appreciate it, John. As always,
sure,
we'll catch
always.
Up in about an hour or so.
Look forward to that.
John Poulter, professor of sports, hanging with us as he does each and every week, breaking down American League Baseball. We'll be right back to wrap this hour up. He's Jeff Rich. I'm the Dorf Man. It's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-499-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-499-MY-TV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call now. 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a one-week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
All righty, everybody. Final segment here on this hour of Dorf on Sports and the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Got to thank Seth Marenbloom from the press box for joining us here. Very good stuff from him. And then obviously John Poulter, as always, he's on with us and did a great job as well. Jeff, only a couple minutes here in this final segment. We haven't talked much about it. I know you're not as into it as I am, but the U.S. Open is going on. Some amazing tennis that we've seen. You know, Rafael Nadal goes out in five sets the other night. You see guys dropping like flies throughout this tournament. It's been kind of interesting on from my perspective because, you know, I play 7 days a week. I'm out there sweating and working my butt off just the same way these guys are. Not in the same sense, obviously, with the intensity factor that they have, but a lot of guys dropping like flies, and I mean, you know, with cramping and having to forfeit or retire in matches. Somewhat shocked, and I'm not the only one that was shocked. Roger Federer was a little shocked as well, you know, saying this is totally unacceptable. What have you thought about that, if you've noticed it at all, Jeff?
I think you got to play the game. You got to play it under the conditions, and you got to be conditioned to play this tournament. And you know, if you go deep, you got to play a lot of tennis, man.
Yeah, and there's a youngster that I've seen play a lot. He's 26, and by tennis, that's not necessarily young. To me, it's young, but Donald Young, really playing well as an American. Good to see some of the Americans playing well at the US Open. John Isner playing pretty well himself, too. So, obviously, Serena and Venus, we know about them. But good to see some of these up-and-comers coming. Anyways, that's going to do it for hour number one. Keep it close. I believe Fred Wallen on the horizon. So, Jeff Rich, Dorfman, it's Dorf on Sports. And this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.